want you to know, my brothers and sisters, know how big your problems might be today, how vast, how large, how insurmountable at times. And sometimes because of the largeness and vastness of the problems that we see, we tend to limit God. It's a natural element of our humanity. But I want to declare to you this morning, never limit a limitless God. God is able. And he's able because he's great. And he's worthy to be praised. Can we give him praise this morning? Hallelujah to the Lamb. I want to welcome you. God bless you. You may be seated. God is a good God. And we're just so grateful to be found in this house this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you so much, praise team, worship team. I want to welcome all of you today. We're honored to have you in our midst. I want to welcome those on social media. We have a wonderful word this morning, I believe, from the Word of God, found in Matthew chapter 20. Now, I'm going to say something before I even begin. This is the first time I've ever preached on the story we're going to hear today. After 35 years of preaching, maybe longer to tell you the truth, actually it's 40 years, I have never preached on this text. Now, it seems kind of strange because I was thinking about that the other day. I have never preached from Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 to 23. And if you brought your Bibles, I'd love you to turn to Matthew chapter 20. And I believe God has a special word for us today. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. Now I want you to notice the order: to mock, to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then, now here's the part of the story I never preached on. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children and her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing. And he said to her, What wilt thou? What do you want? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say to him, Yes, we're able. And he saith unto them, Okay, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. What a text! I've titled this message, The Pathway to Greatness. The Pathway to Greatness. What do I mean by that? Well, let's begin this morning. As we begin, we notice in our text that Jesus has called his disciples, all 12 of them together. And he's got a message to share with them. His hour had come. This was a very important time, and he wants to explain to them what is about to take place in his life. This is extremely disturbing news. He tells them, I am about to be delivered into the hands of evil men, and they are going to do terrible things. They're going to beat me, they're going to mock me, they're going to torment me, and then finally, they're going to crucify me. And I know you've been with me and following me for these 3 years. And so I'm being transparent with you. I'm being open with you. I'm pouring out my heart to you. And I'm telling you what's going to happen to me. And I just want you to be aware of these things. And so, as Jesus is being transparent, as he is speaking his heart and sharing with his disciples what is going to happen to him, all of a sudden, here comes this woman with her two sons, with her two boys right behind her, and I can see her. Excuse me, Jesus. Can I just bother you for a moment, if that's okay? I know you're busy. I know you've just said something really important. But excuse me, Jesus, before you leave this earth, before you die, can you do me a favor, please? I've been thinking about this. You see my two boys here. Do you mind if you can somehow, grant them the privilege and honor to be able to sit, by the right hand and the left hand in thy kingdom? Would that be okay with you? I know you're dying soon, but do you mind if you do that for me? I'm just thinking, one on the right hand, one on the right, left hand. And you can just imagine the atmosphere as she is saying this, the other 12 disciples looking at her. What? No. Now, you think that this woman has lost her mind. But who is this woman? Who is this woman coming and asking such an incredible thing? Well, first of all, she's not a bad woman. That's the amazing thing about it. Actually, she's a very godly woman. Salome, she's married to a man by the name of Zebedee. They had an affluent business. They were in the fishing business. They're well known in society. She's a smart woman. She was a faithful woman. In fact, the Bible tells us, and I believe it's Luke chapter 8, that she ministered to Jesus among the other women. She was faithful. She served him. And yet, now watch this now. When it comes to her children, there was a serious struggle. A struggle was going on. In who she is maternally, with who she is spiritually. There is a struggle with who she is maternally and who she is spiritually. And I was thinking about this. How many times we as parents, mothers in particular, seem to lose focus when it comes to their children. It's almost as if their children become so important to them that they lose perspective of what's really going on. They lose perspective of even reality. And they see their children so high and their whole life is so consumed with their children, they lose perspective. They don't see properly, and they become blind, and their children can do no wrong, can say no wrong. Let me tell you something, folks. I know a lot about this. Not only have I been pastoring all these years and dealt with people who elevate their children to a point where it's almost they become like demigods, but I was also a coach, and I coached girls playing soccer, and I talked to many parents who were convinced that their daughters were the greatest soccer players that were ever born on the face of the earth. And some of them could hardly run. Is there a struggle with this woman? With who she is maternally in light of who she is spiritually? And I want you to think about that as we continue. And so Jesus says, excuse me, but you do not know what you are asking. You don't really know what you're asking. You're asking God for something that is not his will, perhaps. How many people ask God for things that are not in his will, but they're being blinded in some area that they don't see? And so whatever is blinding them is causing them to ask something that we know for sure is not in the will of God. Does not James tell us this? That ye have not because ye ask not, but ye have not also because ye ask amiss. You ask amiss to satisfy your flesh. You're asking, James tells us, inappropriately, or you're asking for things that are carnal or fleshly so you can use them to satisfy your own desires. How many people pray like that? How many people ask God for things like that, but they don't even realize it? And so, lady, Jesus says, that's what's interpreted here by woman, you've taken motherhood a little bit too far. Are you mothering a grown child? Listen to me. These two are not kids. These two that are beside this mother are grown men. They're not playing in the backyard. They're not playing marbles in the sand. They're not playing hide-and-go-seek here. These are grown men. These are grown men she's dealing with. These are men. What are grown men being dragged around by their mother anyway? Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to see. Well, we're going to go deep. We're going somewhere this morning. Because I see a problem today. And this is why I believe this message had jumped up on me so much, because of the day in which we live in. I never saw this years ago. I've read this text hundreds of times. Never saw what I saw today. What are these two men being dragged around by their mother like this? Why didn't they come to ask Jesus themselves? See a problem here. That's what's wrong with society today, my friends. We have too many grown men being dragged around by their mothers. Mama boys. I'm not here to offend anybody, but I'm telling you something. I've seen this over and over and over and over again. I have married couples and dealt with their problems, found out that she married a mama's boy, and that was part of the problem. Don't let me go too far on this one. Men who are still attached to their mothers cause serious problems in their marriage. But that's not my sermon today. I see it as a problem today because I know and I have seen and heard many men who are still living at home, but they're in their 30s and 40s and they're still living with mama and daddy. And in most cases, mommy, daddy's not around. I see that today. It's a problem. More now than ever before. Millennials struggle with this, I think, more than any other group or generation. A generation today where entitlement is so part of society. Oh yeah, they might eventually leave, but if you're not careful, they'll be back sitting and lying down on your couch, and they're in their 30s and 40s if you're not careful. I see it as a problem today where society and men and people in general do not take responsibility in their lives, and they're being dragged around. Daddy's paying the bills, mommy's paying the bills. Being dragged around. And it's a problem in society today. Now I got to ask, when does a mother back off? When does a mother turn over her children to God? When does a father back off and say, hey, listen, I have raised my children to the best of my ability. I am now handing them over to you, Lord. When does a mother do that? When does a father do that? Listen, are you going to spend the rest of your life dragging your grown sons around? Now you think about that, and I don't know who I'm speaking to, but this is a problem today. You can't have their story turn out the way you want it to turn out. And maybe that's another part of the problem. And I had a bit of this problem years ago. My daughter's with me today, but I remember I put her into soccer and I was so thrilled with her. But I realized eventually that I wanted her to become what I wanted her to become. I wanted her to be a certain type of person. That was my dream, and I didn't realize I was living my dream through her. How many parents live their dreams through their children? Now you think about that for a moment. I see that also as a problem today. Could this be the problem we see here with this woman? The point is, life lesson number one, are you ready for this? There is a difference between mothering and manipulation. There's a difference between mothering and manipulation. Manipulation and mothering. There's a huge difference, not only in mothering, but also in fathering. And so we got to ask, what are you dragging to Jesus? How many children are you dragging? Now, I got to pause here for a moment because as I was thinking of this, this woman is coming to Jesus and she's asking for this favor, but the problem is, it's almost as if there's something wrong with these kids in a sense of that they don't have anything. Let me ask you, are these kids sick? No. Are these children, like, is there a famine here? Is there a problem here? Are these kids suffering? Is there a famine? Is there a pestilence? Is there a death? Is there something that is propelling you to come to Jesus in such a way? Is there something wrong with these children? Maybe, is there a lack with these kids? Is there a lack with your son, ma'am? Is there a problem here? Is there something that they need, really? Is there something? Well, listen to me. This woman is dragging these two men to Jesus as if they're not already blessed. They were highly blessed. They were part of the inner circle. They were brought to Gethsemane with Jesus. They were brought to Mount Transfiguration with Jesus. Jesus took them everywhere. They had the highest privilege of spending years with Jesus. Yeah. They had a relationship with him. And yet, this mother, mommy, is still looking for more favor. Oh my. Mommy is still looking for more favor for my two sons. Can they sit on one side and the other in your kingdom? Wow. And I was thinking quite a bit about this. I'm going to share some thoughts a little bit later, but watch this. And so Jesus, I'm just wondering if you can give my sons a little bit more on the right hand and on the left hand. And notice verse 27, Jesus says firmly, you know not what ye ask. Woman, you know not what ye ask. Very firm, very strong. And Jesus was firm with her. Now we want to pause here for a moment because Jesus had a great mother. Jesus had a great mother. Mary loved her son, understood who Jesus was, protected him, ended up going to Egypt, protecting him, did all she could to do her best for her son, raised him properly to the best of her ability. But then we notice in Luke chapter 2, they couldn't find Jesus anymore. And there he was. They thought they lost him. And they figured out, they went back to Jerusalem. And there was Jesus. There was Jesus in the temple preaching and teaching and speaking to the Pharisees. And she was kind of up there. We were so worried. And almost got upset. And Jesus turned to her and said, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Like, what are you? He's 12 years old. He's 12 years old. And what do I see here? The slow cutting of the umbilical cord was taking place at a very young age. And by the time Jesus is 30 years of age, he cut that cord so severely that in Matthew chapter 12, we see Mary trying to get an attention with Jesus. And someone said, your mother is at the door here, Jesus. And Jesus, who's the epitome of love, he says, who is my mother? Who's my mother? Seemed kind of cold, but that's not We're going deeper. That's not. Jesus is love. He's the epitome of love. What is Jesus saying? Are you ready for this? He's saying, why are you trying to attach me to where I've been? Why are you doing that? While I'm reaching forward to where I need to go. Listen, when Jesus said, who is my mother? He's saying, you're trying to keep me tied to where I've started. And now I am so focused to where I'm going, I've got to keep moving. And so don't keep trying to pull me back to where I was. Now watch this. My friends, people will always try to bring you back to where you were. People will always try to bring you back so that you can't move forward. Your enemies will try to do that. The enemy will always try to bring you back to where you started or even before you started. Always will try to stop you from getting to where you need to be. He'll always do that. Listen, my friends, when people bring up your past, you tell them, look, Jesus dropped the charges in my life. I'm going forward. And I'll tell you something. When Paul said, I forget all those things that are behind me and I'm pressing on to the prize of the mark of the high calling. We said that last week. I'm going to say it again. You see, friends, you just got to keep going forward. You got to keep going forward. And the enemy wants to keep bringing you back, wants to keep bringing you back so that you can't go forward. And you know, friends, your past history, what has happened back in the day, that's only a place of reference. It's not a place of residence. You don't live there anymore. You can't allow that place of reverence to dominate your life. And so Jesus speaks to them. And I know that it seems kind of hard for some of us. It was the first question my mother asked me about why would Jesus seem so cruel when it came to his mother when he said, woman, woman, woman. Listen. Jesus almost stopped dying, if you will, to talk to his mother in John chapter 19 on the cross. And he turns to John, his disciple. He says, take care of my mother, John. It's not because he didn't love his mother. Of course he did. And this to me is speaking of grown man's responsibility to make sure your mother is doing well as she gets older. He was concerned for her. We need to be concerned for our parents as they get older. There's no doubt about that. We need to be caring, responsible. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, it tells us that in the last days there'll be perilous times. And one of the signs of perilous times, oh, we know about these things. One of the signs that we've read about Matthew, we read about is what? Is that children will be disobedient to their parents. We'll see disobedience rising to the forefront. Disobedience being a sign of our times. Negligent to our parents, not regarding our parents. And we see this. In fact, let me tell you something. The only commandment that God says, if you will obey it and honor your mother and father, it's the only commandment that God says, I will add years to your life. Can you imagine that? It's the only command that God gives you and me where God will add years to our lives is if we honor our parents. Now you think about that for a moment. And so Jesus is not in any way trying to suggest that we are to reject our mothers, reject our fathers, the very opposite. But he's trying to make a point. Now watch this now. There are some things that never seem to be enough for certain people. There are some things that never seem to be enough for certain people. There are some people that are never satisfied with what they have. I wonder about this woman who asked Jesus concerning her children. Is there anything more? You see, friends, no one can love you enough or give you enough if there's some kind of insecurity in your life. Now watch this. You see, my friends, whatever is leaking out of your life, whatever is causing you certain pain or some deficiency inside of you that's causing you not to receive what someone is saying to you, that will affect your life. In other words, if there's an insecurity inside of you that's causing you to live a certain way, that insecurity will not be able to receive enough blessing, enough praise for you to be satisfied. You'll always want more. Insecurity is never satisfied. You're never beautiful enough. Can't be. Your insecurity will stop you from believing that. It's never enough. And so you can tell someone, you are wonderful, you are beautiful, but they will not receive it, they won't believe it, and they'll never be satisfied because there's something inside of them that's impeding them from receiving what you're trying to say. And that's why you can tell someone you're wonderful, but they're not hearing you. They heard you verbally, but they're not receiving it because there's something inside of them that can't accept it. Something. Can I go deeper this morning? Jesus is saying, what are you asking for can only come through a process. Now watch this. Now we're going to get into the crux of this message. Now watch. Jesus is saying, look, you want this to happen? Let me tell you something. There needs to be a process. And so he takes them through this process. Now watch this, Matthew 20 verse 19. Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go through some things and they're going to escalate. I'm going to go through three major areas in my life and they're going to intensify and it's going to get pretty serious. Three areas, three things I'm going to go through. I'm going to go through a serious process. The first thing that's going to happen is they're going to mock me. The second thing that's going to happen is they're going to scourge me and beat me. And lastly, they're going to crucify me. Mock me, scourge me, and crucify me. In order. You see, brothers and sisters, are you ready for this? Whenever God is about to promote you, you can be sure there will be an escalation of trouble in your life. Remember, when Jesus said to crucify me, he is the only man in history that predicted a resurrection. In other words, there's no resurrection without a crucifixion. And he says, these three things are going to happen in my life. These three things, but they're going to be in order, and there's going to be an escalation of pain and trouble. Now, I don't know who this is for, but you came to church, and you need to hear this. And you're listening on Facebook. Some of you need to hear this. Whenever God is getting ready to promote you, there will be trials. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter, the fiery trials. Don't think it's strange when the fiery trials, they come one after another. And you're saying, God, you have forsaken me. God, what's going on? The fact is, the very opposite is the truth. There's a process. God's getting you ready for something. God's getting you ready. And so there's an escalation from mockery to scourging and tormenting to finally there's crucifixion. And you're saying, God, where are you? And the enemy will come to you and tell you that he's abandoned you. When God in reality is preparing you and you're going through a process. It's going to start with your own people. Sometimes this persecution starts at home. Sometimes this persecution will start with mother or father or sister or brother. God's getting you ready for something and the persecution will come. Remember, Jesus was rejected by his own family. Some of you will be rejected by your own family. Some of you will be rejected by your brother, your father, your mother, your own people. And it will turn, then Jesus, they'll turn me over to the Gentiles. Then this persecution takes place at work. This persecution will take place with the people of this world. Those outside of your home, it's going to escalate. It's going to escalate from within your home, your own people. And then the outside world, others, maybe at work, neighbors. And it will get worse before it gets better. Listen, my friends, whenever the enemy knows you have a destiny or a calling in your life, you can be sure he will set all kinds of distractions to hinder that. And that's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, he wanted to come to see the Thessalonians, but the Bible says, but Satan hindered me. It's the word for a roadblock. There's always going to be some kind of distraction or some kind of hindrance to get you to your destiny. There'll always be some kind of roadblock to stop you from getting to the level God wants you to get or to be where God wants you to be. And he'll cause all kinds of distractions, all kinds of opposition to stop you from getting to the cross, if you will. He'll do whatever he can to impede your process. He'll do whatever he can to impede you to a place where God wants you to be. And sometimes he'll put thoughts in your mind as you're being going through these distractions, and you're thinking that God is against you, and you're thinking, how can this be? If God is with me, how can I be going through this mockery, this scourging, when in reality it's just preparing you to be the person that has called you to be. Life lesson number three, watch this. Distractions will always escalate before it gets better. Distractions will always escalate before things get better. Let me tell you something, friends. It's always the darkest before the dawn. Always. I don't care when the dawn comes, but you can be sure it's darkest as dark can get just before the dawn. It will escalate and they will grow. And that's why Peter tells us in the fifth chapter, after you have suffered a while, I will mature you, I will perfect. And when the Bible speaks of after you have suffered a while, the Bible is speaking of these trials. It's along with Peter chapter 4. It goes in context. Chapter 4 tells us the fiery trials. Chapter 5 says after you have suffered these trials. The Bible is speaking of an onslaught of trials coming against you. Let me tell you something, friend. Sometimes in life, that's what happens. And I've shared this before. You ever watch these movies with these great big heroes and these the hero, Superman or some kung fu expert, or I don't know, and some of these X-Men. You see these Superman. You ever notice these people when you have all these enemies? It doesn't have to be. You could be just average. Like what are these guys' names? I forget some of these names. Give me a super. Could someone talk to me? Give me a name, Josh. Give me a name. Iron Man. Anybody else? Captain America. Okay. What about somebody simple like, I don't know. How about Stallone? Or how about, what are these? Who? Chuck Norris. Thank you. You get a Chuck Norris. Now, have you ever seen Chuck Norris in these films? Now, let me ask you something, since you mentioned Chuck Norris. Have you ever seen Chuck Norris fight one evil guy at the same time? Or do you see him fighting all of a sudden 20? No, you don't see him fighting 20 guys coming at him. You only see them fighting one guy at a time. And the other 20 of them are waiting in the sidelines. You ever notice that? They're always waiting on the sidelines when the guy's finished for the next guy to come. Have you ever noticed that? That's not life. Sometimes all 20 of the villains come at you at the same time. I was sharing this on Facebook. I was jogging the other day. It was in August. It was hot. It didn't start off hot. It was about 28 degrees. It's hot, and it was a bit cloudy. And I'm running, and I run a little bit, so I'm not back in 10 minutes. And so I'm running. And all of a sudden, it just got hotter. The clouds kind of left. And then, by this time, it was about 20, 30 minutes into my run. And, as I was running, it got hotter. And it was at that point I started going up this hill where I live off Thompson. There's a hill under a bridge. And I'm going up this hill, and I'm starting to feel it. A wind just started to blow in my face. It was blowing, really strongly. I'm 62 years old. And I have a groin issue and a hip issue. And so here I am running. It's so humid all of a sudden. It's unbearably hot. The wind is hitting my face. My groin is acting up because it's humid. And my hip, it's humid. All these elements, my age, the hill, all of these things were hitting me at the same time. I mean, just give me the wind, I can probably deal with it. Maybe my groin, I can deal with that too. But the heat, my age, my groin, the wind, and the hill. I got five enemies killing at me. Friends, sometimes life is like that. You got all these things coming against you. Jesus said, I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be tormented, and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to see an onslaught of trials coming against me. Friends, I got to worry. You might be having all these things coming against you right now as I'm speaking to you. Don't look at that as God's disfavor. Get a different perspective. You got to ask yourself, God, you must be doing something in my life. You must be allowing something in my life because I know that your word says you'll never abandon me. I know your word says that you're with me. Distraction will always escalate, my friends. Does not the Bible say that Satan comes like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? You think he's happy about you? You think he wants you to praise him? You think he wants you to trust him? You think he wants you to have a good marriage? You think he wants you to glorify God? You think he wants you to be the woman and the man of God that God's called you to be? He'll do whatever he can to distract you. He'll do whatever he can to destroy you. He's out to kill you. He's out to quiet you and to destroy your testimony. And it always gets darker before it gets brighter. And so can you handle the process? So can you handle the process? Yes, before you ask for the promise, here's my next P. Can you handle the process? Before you ask God, God, I want to be something. I want you to use me. I want to be blessed. I want you to anoint me. Before you ask these questions, God, I want to be. Can you handle the process of what it's going to take for you to be the anointed person that God's called you to be? You think the anointing is cheap? You think the blessing of God just comes as he waves? Let me tell you something. There's always a process to spiritual growth and spiritual greatness. Always a process. Jesus is saying, look, you cannot reign with me till you've suffered with me. You can't reign with me till you've suffered. Oh, I can hear the prosperity teachers. I love them, don't you? They don't want to talk about this. They can't stand talking about suffering. They don't want to talk to you about repentance. They don't want to talk to you about any kind of difficulty or any kind of toil. It's just God doing something and you receiving it so you can be happy all day long. That's not the gospel. That's not the truth. It's the furthest from. You know why the prosperity teachers are so popular? You know why everybody loves them? Because they give you permission to do what you want to do. That's not what Jesus taught. And I'm telling you, friends, deception and false teaching will escalate before the coming of the Lord, and I'm seeing it today more than ever before. We need to be more discerning now than ever before. Jesus is saying, look, you cannot reign with me if you don't suffer me. To him who much is given, much is required. So before you ask me, you need to look into the cup, Jesus said. You need to look into the cup. Jesus is saying, you are talking to me about where you want to sit, and I'm talking to you about the cup you need to drink. I'm talking to you about the cup you need to drink. What cup? Do you remember Jesus in Gethsemane? Do you remember the battle he had with his humanity and his deity? He says, God, look, Father, if it be your will, you know, just remove this from me. But if it's not your will, then help me to drink this bitter cup. Let me drink it. Let me drink this painful. Let me go through what I need to go through. If I can avoid the cross, help me to avoid it, Father. But if I got to go through the cross, then so be it. This is the prayer of Jesus. Jesus in his humanity was struggling at one point to go to the cross. That's how painful it was. Painful for the Son of God in his humanity at Gethsemane. The pain, the agony of what he was about to do on Calvary got the best of him. And in his humanity, he's wrestling with the Father. He's saying, God, if there's somehow I can get, if I can avoid the cross, then let it happen. But if it's not your will, then so be it. Let me drink. My friends, let me tell you something. You can never avoid the cross. That's what the prosperity teachers are trying to teach you. Let me receive the blessing, but don't give me the cross. That's why it's so ugly. Listen, there's no resurrection without the cross. There's none. So before you ask, you need to understand what this cup is all about. Are you so focused on where you want to sit, yet you don't see what you need to drink? Do you not understand that if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross? You understand? If you want to follow me, you got to eat, drink of my blood, if you will, and eat of my body. Do you realize that you cannot experience what you're asking for just because God just snaps his finger? You've got to go through something. We want a Christianity where God just zaps us without going through something. It doesn't work like that. When thou goest through the fire, when thou goest through the deep waters. And so verse 22, Jesus is saying, be careful what you're asking. You're asking for your children to die in their flesh. You're asking them to go through a lot of agony. Is that what you're, I know you're not asking for that, but that's what you're asking if you're really asking with a pure heart. But you're not. You're asking only through the eyes of the flesh. You don't realize what you're asking. How many times when we're praying, we don't realize what we are praying? We don't realize what we're praying. Oh, bless me. Oh, give me. I need, Lord. Do you realize for you to get I need, you got to go through something? Got to go through something? See, I can't put them in this position if they can't drink of this cup. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. Did not David say in the 24th chapter of Samuel, did he not say, I will not sacrifice of the Lord of that which costs me nothing? Nothing? That's the problem. We want this prosperity teaching all the time. We just want to be happy and be blessed and just shout hallelujah and just have all that. The banner over me is love and go around, and we think that that's how it's obtained. That's how we're supposed to live. Let me tell you something. It's not true at all. Listen to me. The text illustrates, that's what this text is illustrating, how we underestimate what it takes to get to the next level spiritually in our lives. Do you know what? We underestimate it. Do you know what it's going to take for you, my friend, to get to the next level spiritually in your life? It's going to take a lot more than just coming to church Sunday morning. It's going to cost you everything. We don't like to hear this today. We don't like this message. Not at all. I'd rather hear a message of how much God loves me and how God blesses me. That's why these preachers are so popular. That's why they're loved by everybody. Because they just say the nice things that we want to hear. Oh, you're just, it's my wonderful God. We love that. We don't want to be challenged. Absolutely not. We don't want to go through things. We just want to be blessed. That's all I want. Don't talk to me about self-denial. Don't talk to me about sacrifice. Don't talk to me about the cup. Don't talk to me about... Did not Jesus say, the baptism that I went? Did we not just read it in our text? Or the cup? Do you know what he meant by baptism? What is baptism? Anybody know here? Who got baptized recently? Somebody did. Anybody? Pastor Melody, what is baptism? Thank you, Pastor Melody. Baptism is a burial of the old man. When you go into the water, that typifies your sins being washed. You're dying to this world. When you come out of the water, that expresses a new person in Christ. You can't have a new person in Christ unless you've died to yourself. Boy, I've never heard a message about dying to self from some of these very popular preachers that you might even like yourself. They don't want to talk about repentance. They don't want to talk about the cross. They don't want to talk about self-denial. All they want to talk about is how blessed they are and how great God is. It's so true. But you can't have a gospel without the cross. We're so caught up with who sits where. We're so caught up with the glory. That's just pride, see, arrogance. And we have overlooked the cross, which is the path to get there. You see, brothers and sisters, you can write this down. Listen. Truth sounds like hate when you hate the truth. Truth sounds like hate when you hate the truth. And I've been accused by some of these people. Oh, you just hate the truth. No, I don't. I think you hate the truth. And so we try to polish it and we try to make it sound good, because we can't receive what's really being said. Listen, brothers and sisters, can I say something? I refuse to entertain myself with the things my God went to the cross for. I refuse to entertain myself with the things that Jesus died on the cross for. I'm going to say it again. I refuse to entertain myself with the things that Jesus went to the cross and died for. Well, there's a new doctrine out today, just a matter of a few years. It's called progressive Christianity. I have no words. I have no words about this teaching that is sweeping part of North America, that has even touched one of my good friends. It is so diabolical, it's almost hard to even describe it. So diabolical that they emphasize God's love, and it sounds good. Oh, God's love, it's so true. Everything, God's love is the key. Oh, and they'll focus only on God's love. They'll tell you, you don't have any sin. God's love covers it. You don't need to repent. God's love covers it. In fact, Hitler's going to heaven because God's love's covered it. That's right. That's exactly what they believe. Everybody's going to be just fine. No problem. God's love is so magnificent that you can do whatever you want because God's love covers it. And I looked at that person and my good friend, I said, hold on a second. If that's true what you're saying, then why did Jesus come to the earth and die on a cross for your sin and mine? My friends, we're living in very disturbing times today. The gospel has been under attack today more than ever before. People are trying to demean it, try to socialize it, try to make it so it becomes palatable to everybody else. Try to package Christianity and make it sound so wonderful that everybody's just fine. Don't worry about it. It's for everybody. You just do whatever you want to do. Jesus' love covers it all. That's exactly the opposite of what Jesus taught and preached and lived. And yet he's the epitome of love. No, my friends, I refuse to entertain myself with the things my God went to the cross and died for. This type of teaching doesn't speak on any kind of holiness or righteousness. You don't need it. His love covers it. This kind of teaching tells you you can do whatever you want. It's okay. His love covers it. Get drunk. It's okay. God's love covers it. And they'll even use Noah. Didn't God forgive Noah? Like, how far does this go? No absolutes. Everything is relative. That's what this teaching teaches. And it's creeping into the church. And it pleases the flesh. And it pleases the ego of man. That's why it's so diabolical. Brothers and sisters, you cannot escape the cross. We want the benefits without the requirements. We want the recital without the rehearsal. We want the platform without the pruning. We want the promise without the problem. We want the title without the trouble. We want the ministry without the misery. You want ministry? It's going to take death to self. You want true ministry? It's going to take an abandonment of your will. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Some of these preachers are losing their minds. You might say, Pastor Dino, why are you saying this today? I'm saying this today because I see it as an epidemic today more than ever before. And as a pastor, it disturbs me. It disturbs me because I see many people falling into the traps and into the claws and the tentacles of the devil through deception. Jesus warned us, in the last days, you will see an escalation of famines and pestilences. You'll see COVID rising. He didn't use that word, but that's pestilence. You'll see all these things taking place. And then he says, there'll be prophets, even people proclaiming to be Christ. And I tell you, friends, we have seen this type of teaching and false prophets and false Christ rising up in the last 50 years more than ever before. And it concerns me because some people I know have fallen into the traps of the enemy. Jesus said, ye know not what you ask. This mother did not know what she asked because she was distracted by her attraction to the glory. How many people, yes, even if they are attracted to the sensational, but they're not really attracted to the supernatural. They want the sensational. They want the glory. They want the limelight. They want the excitement of what the Spirit can bring. And all the pizzazz and all the glory and all the hoopla. Well, there's a lot of people like that. They're looking for the glory. They're looking for the sensational. But she overlooked the cup. She didn't understand the pain that goes along with the position. There's two P's for you. The pain that goes along with the position. The pain that goes along. Listen, if God's going to promote you, it's not going to be cheap. There's a price to pay for spiritual promotion. You think a quick, you know how many people? Oh, I'm not going, I want to go. They run to every crusade. This is in the past. Today we can't because of COVID. But you know what? How many times in the past, oh, I know some, who go to every crusade, any new name, any big name, so they can get somebody's hand laid on them. So they can experience something. And that's all they want. But they're not willing to pay the price. So give me a zap, but don't ask me to change my life. Give me a zap, but don't ask me to walk down the straight and narrow road. Give me a zap, but don't ask me to deny myself. And so because of that, next day they're still depressed and they're still miserable. And they're still looking for something else. They're still looking for some more sensation. Because they're not willing to die to this world. So give me the next evangelist. Give me the next teaching. Having itchy ears, the Bible says, being seduced by these spirits. It's a spirit that seduces you into false doctrine. Did you know that? Giving heed to false doctrine, having itchy ears, being seduced by these spirits, the Bible says. Every false doctrine has a spirit behind it. A false teaching is breathed upon by a devil or a demon or a spirit of Antichrist, a demonic being. It's demonic. All false cults and false teachings are demonic, and they'll try to dissuade you from walking down the straight and narrow, and they'll throw all kinds of obstacles to get you off course, just like it did with Jesus, just like they did with the Apostle Paul, and just like it's going to happen to you or to me if you're trying to walk down the straight and narrow path. Remember the three. Remember the process. Remember the program. Remember the three things. It will start with mockery. That will escalate to torment and beatings, and then finally, crucifixion. There is a process. There is a process you need to go through. And you can't escape the process. We want the product. We don't want the process. Give me the resurrection, Pastor. I don't want the crucifixion. But it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work! Sometimes we look at people. We might in our own heart say, God, I wish I can. That person, my, what an example. Sometimes we might lift up individuals that you might think are very spiritual. and we wish to be like that, or we want to be more like that. Let me pause for a second. Let me ask you, do you know what it took for that person to be where he is or she is spiritually? Are you there when they're crying out to God, fasting and praying? Are you there when they're denying themselves and going through the process of spiritual death, if you will? Are you there when they're denying? Are you there? Do you know what it took for them to get to that place where they're at? You think they just snapped their fingers? It took years and years of self-denial and crying out to God. It doesn't come overnight. There's a process that you and I cannot escape. And this is the kind of teaching that's certainly not popular today. And I can promise you no one's going to get this CD tonight. But it's the truth. If you and I want to get to the next level, we need to listen to the words of Jesus. And so Jesus says, watch. And when Jesus told her how much it's going to cost, watch this one. How much it's going to cost? How much it's going to cost? They said, oh, okay. We got this. Really? You got this? Really? Jesus says, before I get to the resurrection, I'm going to be mocked, scourged, and crucified. Now, before I close this morning, now watch this now. I have a word for those who are somewhere on the stage of being mocked and scourged. This is an encouraging word. There are people listening to me on Facebook, social media, here at Logos. You're in a process. You're in that stage in between mockery and scourge, and some of you are being scourged, and some of you are in the process of being mocked. You're going through humiliation. Jesus called it humiliation. Your life is a mockery. You're being mocked. Your life is a mockery. You're being mocked. And this is what hit me as I was writing this sermon. And I realized the Lord had a word for me as well. You know, friends, can I be perfectly transparent with all of you? You know, as I look at my life, and maybe you can relate with me, my life at times has been a mockery. My life at times has been painful, where I know that there were misunderstandings and mockeries and painful experiences. I had a struggle. I was dealing with struggles in my own life and what I stood for and what I was sharing with people and how I was living. Can I be real with you? Friends, I've got to ask, have you ever had something done to you that mocked everything you stood for? Have you ever had something done for you that even challenged what you even believe? As I often say, something that offended your mind so that your heart can be revealed. Something that really affected you. You're being mocked. You're being scourged. Yes, watch this now. Rest, yes, yes. Even your faith. And they come and they'll tell you, somebody might come and say to you, oh, I thought you were a man of God. I thought you were a woman of God. And look what's happening to you. Have you ever been mocked like that? Oh, I thought you had it all. Oh, you went to Bible college and you're being mocked. Has that ever happened to you? Stay with me. Stay with me. Yes, you're counseling people, and the very same things that you're counseling against might be happening to you. Oh. Has that ever happened to you? Yes. I want to talk to the people where life has mocked them, where life has mocked you. Life has mocked you. My friend, you're going to get mocked at some point or another. You're counseling a married person, and you're counseling a woman maybe whose husband has left her, and all of a sudden your husband has left you. Mr. Counselor, Miss Counselor, life has mocked you. And so what you're counseling with someone is now happening to you. Has that ever happened to you? Life has mocked you. My friends, I'm going to tell you something. You can be sure that at one point or another, life will mock you, and you're going to go through some kind of experience or another that will bring you to your knees, and you'll be confused, and you will get beat down to a point where sometimes you don't even know if you can get up. But my friends, let me tell you something about being beat down. You see, what Jesus is trying to say is there's going to be a time you're going to be beat down. There's going to be a time where you're going to be hurt. There's going to be a time where you're going to be scourged. There's going to be a time where all hell is going to break loose. There's going to be a time where the wind's against you, your arthritis is against you. There's going to be a time that your age might be against you. There's going to be a time your sickness might be against you. There's going to be a time all five enemies are coming against you and you're going to be beat down. But what Jesus is saying is that if you never experience being beat down, if you never experience some kind of death, you'll never be able to experience the life that God has for you. Though tears may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. You will never be strong unless you've been beaten. That's why the Apostle Paul, listen carefully, that's why the Apostle Paul said that I might know him and the power, what's that? Could someone finish it with me? And the fellowship. Listen, brothers and sisters, you will never know his resurrection without the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to make sure that we understand that. Because we're living in a society today that we don't want to talk about the sufferings. We just want to talk about the resurrection. We don't want to talk about the scourging and the beating. We want to talk about the resurrection. But I'm not here for people's approval. And I'm not here for the applause of men. I'm here because I need to speak truth. And we're living in a day today where truth is lacking because all we want is to satisfy me, myself, and I. Lovers of themselves, the Bible says, the last days, men will rise up and be lovers of themselves. We see this today. And as I said a few weeks ago, that's the very national anthem of hell. I did it my way. Me, myself, and I. That's the life and society in which we live in today. It's against the truth of the gospel. And it's crept into the church. And let me tell you something, friends. A gem can never be polished without friction. You can never grow without friction. Though he try me, Job said, yet I will come forth pure as gold. If there's no trying, there's no pure gold. Yes, I want to talk to someone who's going through a period where life has beat them down. You almost didn't come to church today. You almost didn't tune in on Facebook today. But watch this. You can be beat down in private. Now watch this now. Here's a nugget. Are you ready? You can be beat down in private. Yeah, you can be crying in private. Nobody can see it. You can be beat down in private. But you can only be crucified in the public. Ooh, stay with me. Please stay with me. You can only be crucified in the public. You can be beat down in the private. But crucifixion takes place in the public. In the public. Now watch this. You can be beat down, and what's happening here is this. He said, Jesus said, yeah, they are going to mock me, they're going to beat me, and then they're going to publicly shame me. They're going to publicly shame me. They're going to crucify me publicly. The Romans did that. The Roman soldiers wanted to publicly shame shame those that went against Rome. And so they had them crucified, in a sense was, it was to shame them publicly, to make them examples publicly. Jesus was going to be made a public spectacle. That's what brought him the shame. They were going to shame him. This is what Jesus is saying about crucifixion. So I can't get out of it. They will strip me almost naked. They will expose me to the world. You see, brothers and sisters, when you are stripped naked, that's shame. And you feel like you're in this all by yourself. Is there anybody in this room who feels that they're in this all by themselves? People don't get you. They don't understand you. Listen, friends, if there's anybody here today, anybody here today that has felt alone at one point or another, been abandoned, mocked and ridiculed by family members, you stood for your faith and people have, I've talked to some people whose families have rejected them. But my friends, I want to tell you something. In that place of crucifixion, in that place of shame, in that place of loneliness, in that place of mockery, there is one who will stand by you. The Bible says God will never forsake you. God will never leave you. God does not promise you you won't be scourged. God does not promise you won't be beaten. But he does promise you that I will never leave you. Listen, friends, you're not serving a weak, frustrated God living on some kind of life support. I know that the economy's in trouble. I know the world's in trouble, but God is never in trouble. He's a sovereign, mighty God who reigns on high. Nothing can impede him. Nothing can distract him. He sits on the circle of the earth. He's on high. He's in control. He's the water-walking God. And if you're drowning, he's got a life jacket for you. Just stay the course. Nothing is hid from him. He is like a judge who sits on his bench. Let me tell you something. He's like that judge, but he's not sitting on a bench. He's sitting on his throne, and he's got one foot upon the land and he's got one foot upon the sea, and he is the ultimate control. And I'll tell you something else, if it's a yoke, he can break it. If it's a demon, he can cast it out. If it's a burden, he can bear it. And if it's a disease, he can hear it and heal it. I tell you, friends, there's nothing he cannot do. And he promises you one thing: if you're being scourged today, if you're being beaten today, and if you're being crucified publicly and in shame today, he promises you, hold on, because something is about to take place. If you can hold on. Hold on, because we serve a God who not only comes to us when things are going well, but he comes to us when things are dark, when it's night. Listen, anybody can be there when you got a promotion. Anybody can be there when you get a breakthrough. Anybody can be there when you're being elevated and everybody sees what you've done and you look so good and you're so wonderful. Yeah. But I need a God who can walk down that long, dirty, frustrated road. I need a God who can be with me when I'm in darkness. I need a God who can be with me when I'm being shamed and mocked. I need a God who said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Listen to me, friends. The devil will come to you and he'll try to push you down. But I'll tell you something, he can't keep God from lifting you up. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. And I'll tell you something, friends, if you can just hold on, if you can just trust in him, if you can just believe in his word after they've beaten you, after they've flogged you, after they've tormented you, after they have scourged you, after you can just stand, if you can stand up, if you can stand the pain, if you can just stay the course, if you can just stay the course and keep your eyes on him. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult. I know it's tight. I know it's painful. But don't give up. Don't give up. They will mock you. They will scourge you. They will crucify you. But my friends, I got a word for you this morning. Oh yes, here it is. But early Sunday morning, something's about to take place. A resurrection. If you can stay the course. Stay the course. Sunday morning. you will rise. You will rise again. God hasn't abandoned you, because my victory is in the third day. Yes, the bones will rise again. Can these bones live? God asked Ezekiel. Yes, Ezekiel, they can live. And God breathed on those bones. God breathed into the heart of Jesus, and he rose from the dead. He rose, he predicted, he prophesied that he would rise from the dead. I will rise. I might be crying now, but I'm going to rise. I might be in pain now, but I'm going to rise. Rejoice not against me, my enemy, for when I fall, I shall rise again. I shall rise again. Don't rejoice. And so, friends, listen, if you can just hang in there just for this moment and give God a resurrected praise, if you can just praise him till the pain gone. If you can just praise him this morning till you can't feel the nails anymore. If you can just praise him this morning till you can't feel the piercing in the side. If you can even praise him on credit if you feel so painful. Sometimes you feel so anesthetized you can't even feel anything. But if you can praise him just for who he is, you will rise. You will rise. What am I saying as I close? We're living in a day, my friend, there's a lot of lies and deception about a lot of things. But the gospel is true and it remains. And Jesus promises you and me a place in eternity with him. He promises that he will not leave you. He promises you that he is guiding and directing your path. And in that direction, in that path, there are different levels and degrees and seasons that you go through. And it's in those seasons that the devil will come to you to try to dissuade you and stop you from reaching your destiny. I'm here to tell you, to reach your destiny, you will go through three things: mockery, scourging, and a crucifixion. And if you handle the process, you will experience a resurrection in your life, not only here on earth, but in the kingdom to come. Can we all stand together, please? Brother Josh, if you can lead us in a chorus. Every head bowed. This is not a shouting message. This is a message of internalizing. Just it's a message that helps me think and helps me put my life in perspective. Helps me to realize what life is really all about. Helps me see what true Christianity is. True Christianity is to walk as Jesus walked, to live as Jesus lived, to go through what Jesus went through. So that means you can't bypass the cross. You can't. I can't. But if you get through the cross, oh,
give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself. Myself away. Oh.
what you've been praying for, whatever it is. Do you see yourself when that answer comes? Will you forget what God has done for you? People forget. But I ask this, if we can pray, Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. If that can be your prayer, to me that's the greatest prayer. Lord, I just want to please you. There's no greater prayer than wanting to please God. Maybe that's what we can do this morning. We can ask God, Lord, I want to please you, and so take my life, Lord. If I have to go through a trial, let me go through it. That's okay. I just want to be more like you. Because that's all that matters. It's not where I'm sitting. It's not where I'm sitting. It's not how people even perceive me. Lord, do I please you? Well then, Lord, help me go through this because I know this pleases you. I know this is what makes me more like you. Do you have the spiritual fortitude to pray that way today? Because if you can, that will separate you from everyone else. Because there's no greater place in this world than to be in a place that you please God with your life. With your life. Let it be an aroma of His glory. But you're going to be scourged, even mocked, and yes, even crucified. But that's okay, Lord. Whatever it takes for me to shine for you, whatever it takes for me to be that woman, that man that I need to be, because that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Nothing. Can you pray this with me today? You got to pray. Not even verbally. I'm asking you to pray this if that's what you desire. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not asking you to come receive a Cadillac or a big house. Oh, I know that's how we do it today. Come and receive God and He'll bless you. Oh, yeah, He'll give you. No, I'm not even going there because that's not true. God can bless you that way, but that's not true. You come to God because you want to please Him. You come to God because you want to serve Him. You come to God because you want to honor Him. You come to God because you're saying, God, here I am. Let me drink the cup you drink. Let me be baptized with the baptism you went through. Use me, O Lord. That's my prayer.
Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Hear us, Lord.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself
to you. All my life.
My life is not my own. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Let me drink the cup, Lord. Let me drink it today, oh God.
I give myself away.
Let me go through that baptism
so
that you went through.
You can I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
I'm going to pray. pray for all of you now, all of us together, because you know what? I don't know, I just don't feel like dismissing you right now. Can I be honest with you? I don't think it's time. Can you give me a few more moments? Can we just have a few more moments? We're so busy, always going to... Can we just wait a few minutes? I don't know who I'm speaking to, but somebody's going through a lot of hell right now. Lots of hell. God's in the process of doing something powerful in your life. Don't look at that hell as God's indication of his disfavor. That's not God's disfavor. That's God's favor. That's God's favor. I want to pray. I want everybody, if you're with me, if this message has resonated in your spirit, I want you to take your left hand and put it on your heart right now. Just put it right there in your heart. I'm going to pray. I'm praying for myself as well. My family, my children. Pray for all of us. Pray for those on Facebook. I'm going to ask you on Facebook or YouTube to put your hand on your heart right now, please. If this message has resonated with you and you want to drink the cup that Jesus drank, you want to be baptized with the baptism that Jesus, then you put your hand on your heart right now, because I'm telling you, it'll be the greatest moment of your life. The greatest moment is to drink the cup that Jesus drank. The greatest moment is to be baptized with the baptism that Jesus went through. The greatest moment is to carry that cross. Father, for those that are going through scourging, mockery, those who are going through some form of crucifixion right now, you're in pain. The devil's come to us, Lord, and tried to dissuade us. They've tried to distract us. We're hearing voices coming to us, false doctrine, coming to impede us, to distract us. But Father, today we're taking a stand. I've decided to follow you, Lord. I want to drink that cup today. I want to be baptized today with your baptism. I want to die to this world, the things of this world, the things that bring damage to me. I refuse to entertain myself with the things that brought you to the cross. I lay it down today. I lay it down at your feet. And I'm not going to pick up what I've laid down this morning, Lord. I'm not going to pick it up again. I'm not going to do that. By your grace, I'm not going to do that. By your... Lord, touch my heart today. Fill me with your presence. Help me to go through what I need to go through. When thou goest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Help me not to get burnt, Father. When thou goest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. Help me not to drown, oh God. My God. Give me the strength today, Father, to say yes to you and no to the devil. Give me strength to say yes to your ways and no to my flesh and my fantasies, my lusts. Give me strength to serve you, Lord, to know you, to follow you through COVID, through abuse, through a divorce, through pain, through sickness. Give me strength, oh God. I'm going to the end of this. I gotta go forward. Help me to stop thinking of what happened years ago. I gotta press on. Press on for that place of reference. That's all it is. Gotta press on. Going forward. Help me, Father. I surrender my life to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. want every head bowed for me. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I spoke to one individual. I don't know who it is. Somebody's going through hell. I want every head bowed. I just don't want to leave this service without praying individually for this person. Now you might be saying, Pastor, a lot of us are going through hell. No. Somebody in this room has got all kinds of trials hitting at them at one time. I'm talking about personal. I'm talking about family. Listen carefully. This is personal. This is family. These are people outside of your circles as well. You've got every area right now. It's like that illustration I gave you with those five things coming against me. The wind, my age, my sickness. You've got at least five things coming against you. So this isn't just a common cold. This isn't just a muscle ache. This isn't because someone didn't say hello to you today. I'm talking about serious. You've never gone through something like this. And you've never gone through something like this. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Every head bowed for a moment. I got to pray for you right now. I feel an urgency to pray for you. I want you to put your hand up. Nobody looking but me. Thank you. There's at least two people here. Amen. Three people. Beautiful. That's okay. Keep your hands up, please. Just keep your hands up as an act of faith. Keep your hands up. I repeat, you have never had this happen to you before. That's the key. You have never had this happen to you before. Keep your hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see the hands that are raised, not only here at Logos, but all over social media, Lord. Father, I pray for a divine infusion of your grace today, of your strength, a divine infusion, Lord. Lord, I'm praying for the same anointing that came through you when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of your garment. I pray for that kind of virtue to flow into the hearts of your people that are hurting terribly today. Father, we need you. We need your strength. We need your power today like never before. Some of us, Lord, have been confused, discouraged about what is around us. Some of us have lost focus. Some of us have said, "Where are you, God? Where are you? Oh, God. Help us, Lord. Don't leave us desolate, oh God. Come and fill us afresh. Holy Spirit, come in power. We need you. We haven't stopped praying for revival, Lord, and we will not stop. Oh God, that you would revive your church. Revive these dead bones. Cause us to rise. The fresh resurrection of your power. For your glory, I ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Surrender our lives to you today, oh God. Tell you we truly love you. care, but it pales in comparison to how much God loves you and cares for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you. Help us, O Lord.
Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of
give God the praise. You may be seated. Blessing to you all. May God guide you, protect you, guard you, no matter what comes our way. Amen. To all of you online as